Ukraine has had a lot of international attention lately. Before Pope John Paul's trip last week, Defense Secretary Donald Rumsfeld and the current European Union president made visits. This week, the Secretary General of NATO is there. This represents renewed interest in the former Soviet Republic, which, after a decade of independence, is still deciding what kind of society it wants to be. NPR's Mike Schuster reports.
Life for some is boogie-woogie, sings a lone balladeer on Kroshetek, the main thoroughfare through downtown Kiev. And for some, it's insane, a neat summation of the effects of 10 years of independence for Ukraine. Commercial life along Kroshetek looks almost normal as hundreds take an evening stroll drinking beer, eating hot dogs and pizza, and peering at the frantic construction of new buildings everywhere. But, says Boris Tarasyuk, the former foreign minister of Ukraine, the hopes and expectations of 1991's break with the Soviet Union in Moscow have not been fulfilled for most.
In terms of enrichment of a small and narrow strata of population, which is now being referred to as oligarchs, the independence brought a lot. First of all, the wealth, which they are trying to transform into a political wealth, quote unquote.
Change has been terribly slow in coming to Ukraine. Only within the past 2 years has commercial activity become widespread in Kiev, the capital, and a few other major cities. In the countryside and in small towns, products are available, but their prices are beyond the reach of most Ukrainians. Unemployment, hard to measure, is probably at 20%. Ukraine was home to nearly half of the Soviet Union's heavy industry, which has proved useless in developing a modern economy, and no meaningful economic or political reform has taken place, says Markian Belinsky, field director for the U.S.-Ukraine Society.
The problem, of course, has been that many of the factory directors were also prominent politicians in the Soviet period. They were all members of the Central Committee, whether at the Soviet level or at the Ukrainian level, which has meant that it's been very difficult to create the political preconditions for stimulating the development of what we would recognize as a functioning market economy. They were more concerned about salvaging what they could out of the post-Soviet wreckage rather than doing something constructive for the sake of society.
Which has resulted in a familiar political pattern in the post-Soviet world, a network of very rich businessmen, politicians, and criminals running the country, with President Leonid Kuchma balancing various interests, looking like a reformer one moment, a crony of the rich the next, according to Parliament member Sergei Holovaty.
Unfortunately, there is a very huge coalition in the parliament between communists and oligarchs who are supporting president, and they are squeezing up democratic opposition. It's very difficult to fight against president, against oligarchs, against communists. They are in real majority in parliament. They keep in their hands mass media, state TV, radio, private TV.
So 10 years after independence, Ukraine has the trappings of a market economy and democratic institutions, but in reality, it has neither. Back on Kroshetek, a young man sings a Ukrainian folk song and plays the bandura, something like a large auto harp. Ukraine is divided culturally and politically, and those divisions were accentuated by the visit of the Pope last week. Russian speakers in the East, Ukrainian speakers in the West, those who look to Russia and those who look to Europe. For years, President Kuchma tried to persuade Western leaders that he did want to bring Ukraine into the Western orbit. This year, though, he was tarnished by a scandal linking him to the murder of a journalist who crusaded against corruption, and he engineered the ouster of a prime minister who challenged entrenched interests. Kuchma was losing his reputation as a reformist leader Western Europe and the United States could trust, says writer Maxim Striche.
That's not an accurate picture at all. In fact, now Mr. Kuchma made everything to move Ukraine not toward the West and the Western values, but just to keep the situation when Ukraine is strongly connected in and involved into the post-Soviet common space led by Russia.
So Ukraine is ambivalent about its new place in the world. Perhaps that accounts for the renewed Western concern about Ukraine, that it was slipping too deeply back into the Russian orbit, says Markian Belinsky of the U.S.-Ukraine Society.
I think the message recently has been that, no, Ukraine won't be isolated. We are supporting your reform efforts, but they have to be seen to be done. This might finally give a jolt to the powers that be, that they have to be serious about reforms, about making sure that the rule of law is respected and is observed and applies to everybody.
Where Ukraine might be in another 10 years is impossible to predict, but in the next decade, Ukraine's people and its friends might not be as patient as they have been in the past. Mike Schuster, NPR News, Kyiv.